Okay, now we shall dive into Ashtanga Yoga, sadhana. For the Arudha Muni, right? This is his sadhana. Jnan Yoga with the various angas. From 10 to 32. Yogi Yunjita Sakatam Atmanam Rahasti Stitaha Ekakya Jata Chitatma Nirashira Parigraha. A transcendentalist should always engage his body, mind, and self in relationship with the Supreme. He should live alone, ekaki, in a secluded place, rahasi stita, and should always carefully control his mind. He should be free from desires, nirashir, and feelings of possessiveness, aparigraha. Purport. Krishna is realized in different degrees as Brahman, Paramatma, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna consciousness means concisely to be always engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. But those who are attached in personal Brahman or localized Paramatma are also partially Krishna conscious, because in personal Brahman is the spiritual ray of Krishna, and super soul is the all-pervading partial expansion of Krishna. Thus the impersonalist and meditator are also indirectly Krishna conscious. A directly Krishna conscious person is the topmost transcendentalist, because such a devotee knows what is meant by Brahman and Paramatma. His knowledge of the absolute truth is perfect, whereas the impersonalist and meditative yogi are imperfectly Krishna conscious. I'll skip a few sentences. Concentration of the mind on the Supreme is called samadhi or trance. In order to concentrate the mind, one should always remain in seclusion and avoid disturbance by external objects. He should be very careful to accept favorable and reject unfavorable conditions that affect his realization. Okay. So, he should go to rahasi snitaha and control his mind and senses. So what kind of rahasi, secluded place, is described here now in the next verse? And what does he do in that secluded place? Shuchau deshe patishtapya sthiram asanam atmanaha nat uchritam nati nicham rechandina kushotaram tatraegatvam manakritma yata chitendriya kriyaha upaveshyasane yunyat yogamatma vishunaye. To practice yoga, one should go to a secluded place and should lay kusha grass on the ground and then cover it with a deer skin and a soft cloth. The seat should be neither too high nor too low and should be situated in a sacred place, shuchaudeshe. The yogi should then sit on it very firmly and practice yoga to purify the heart by controlling his mind, senses, and activities, and fixing the mind on one point. Alright. So kusha grass on the ground, and then deer skin on top of the kusha grass. And because, you know, what is the benefit of the deer skin? No snakes. And it has a kind of chemical in there which repels insects and snakes and things like this. And then you put some cotton cloth over the deer skin, and that you wash every so often. You don't wash the deer skin. So otherwise it can get quite smelly and dirty. You need something to wash there. Prabhupada mentions holy places, sacred places like Prayag, Mathura, and Vrindavan, Rishikesh, Haridwar. The places where Jamuna and Ganga are flowing. This is holy place. And this may not be possible for Westerners. So, but in big cities, this is not a suitable place for doing yoga. So you should come to India, the land of Krishna, Bharat Bhumi. Okay, so what type of place? And then, you know, you go there, what do? You make an asan, and you sit down. Shouldn't be too high or low. Right? Nati uchitam, nati nicham. If it's too high, you may fall off. It's too low, right? Too low. It's not good to be too close to the ground, too many insects and things, snakes and whatever. It has to be comfortable, because otherwise you can't really meditate. So, something more about how to do the meditation. Once you're sitting on the asana, then what do you do from that point? 13 and 14. Samam kaya shiro grivam dharayana chalam stiraha sampreksha nasigagram svam dishaschanavalokayam prashantatma vikatapti brahmachari vrate sthitaha mara samyamma machitto yukta asita matpadaha. So samam kaya, straight torso. Kaya means body, but it means especially the torso. From the neck to the waist. Right. So that should be straight. Then shira grivam, the head also, and the neck also straight. Dharayan achalam sthidha. So the no rocking back and forth like this. No, there's achalam. No rock and rolling. And then sampraksha nasigagram svam. So the agra nasi. Agra, at the end of the nose, he's looking at the end of the nose, because if his eyes are completely open, he's so distracted by some birds flying or some beast going or this or that. And if he's completely closed, he'll fall asleep. So half open eyes and meditating. The eyes will be in between the bruvo and the nose, like this, on the tip of the nose, somewhere there. Eyes are like this. How to sit and how to meditate. Right? That is the point there. We see in the next verse, 14, that he's very peaceful, vigatabhi, as I said, devoid of fear. Because he can't meditate if he's worried about, you know, the tigers and the lions, bears, snakes in the forest. Brahmachari vratesthitaha is situated in celibacy. It has to be a brahmachari. No grihasthas for this yoga. Sorry. No matajis. Machitta. Fix your consciousness on me. Machitta matkata pranam borayantas parasparam. And the mind should be samyamya, controlled. And look, matparaha, hey, a reminder of 261 in the second chapter, right? Some of the first drop of bhakti. So Krishna saying matchitta matpara. So Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, he comments that one should become dedicated in devotion while meditating on my beautiful four-handed Vishnu form. He quotes Krishna speaking this. So some bhakti can come when you're meditating on the form of Vishnu. Because you can think, oh, how beautiful. Nice. Yeah. And some bhakti can come. If you want to look at and some other, if you're into Ashtanga Yoga, you can look in the Bhagavatam, third canto, 28th chapter, text 8, and text 36, and get some more nectar from there, some details. Also the 11th canto, chapter 14, text 32, some details are there, maybe some commentaries. Did I read this verse, the English? One should hold one's body, neck, and head erect in a straight line and stare steadily at the tip of the nose. Thus, with an unagitated, subdued mind, devoid of fear, completely free... I don't know any commentary about that. I would think that it's possible. I mean, brahmachari vrata means that he's celibate. It doesn't mean that he has to be a brahmachari. He could be a vanaprastha. That's my understanding. Prabhupada talks about the Vishnumurti, right, in the commentary. That's the process, you know, the goal of, or the object of meditation is Vishnumurti, not something else. One who has no program to realize Vishnumurti is uselessly engaged in mock yoga and is wasting his time. Right? People meditate on all kinds of weird things. Candles and lights and this and that. Rocks, jewels, maybe his mother. You meditate on something, you know. So Prabhupada kind of destroys all the bogus yogi practices, which especially in the West. One can enjoy sex life daily at home or elsewhere and attend a yoga class and become a yogi. Prabhupada was in this yoga ashram on 72nd Street of Dr. Mishra. And then old ladies would come there with the leotards and do these stretching exercises. And Prabhupada was sitting there, you know, taking prasadam, looking at me. I saw a video of this. It's very funny. No one has ever seen this video. Just, it was, what is it? Yadubar showed me in Mayapur this. You want to see something that no one's ever seen? Prabhupada and Yoga Mishra in Dr. Mishra's yoga studio. Prabhupada was taking prasadam, and then it showed there was ladies, you know, doing this with their legs and fat ladies from New York, you know. Very funny. So that's not the kind of yoga Krishna's talking about here. Prabhupada mentions, one who, however, follows the rules and regulations of married life, having sexual relationship only with his wife and under regulation, is also a brahmachari. Such a restrained household of brahmachari may be accepted in the bhakti school, but gyan and jnana schools do not even admit household of brahmacharis. They require complete abstinence without compromise. In the bhakti school, a household of brahmachari is allowed to control the sex life because the cult of bhakti yoga is so powerful that one automatically loses sexual attraction being engaged in the superior service of the Lord. Okay, now what is the result of doing this? Yunjad evam sadatmanam yogi niyata manasaha shantim nirvana paramam batsam sthamari gacchati. Thus practicing constant control of the body, mind, and activities, the mystic transcendentalist, his mind regulated, attains to the kingdom of God, or the abode of Krishna, by cessation of material existence. So this result comes after a long time. And the yogi must practice like this every day, regularly. He shouldn't desire the siddhis, otherwise this will obstruct his progress and he won't attain ultimate goal of Paramatma, Darshan and Samadhi. Prabhupada comments, the ultimate goal in practicing yoga is now clearly explained. Yoga practice is not meant for attaining any kind of material facility. It is to enable the cessation of all material existence. One who seeks an improvement in health or aspires after material perfection is no yogi, according to the Bhagavad Gita. Okay. Some more rules. Are there any more rules? There is no possibility of one becoming a yogi, Arjuna, if one eats too much or eats too little, sleeps too much or does not sleep enough. Some more rules. So for eating, sleeping, in the I think it's in the Patanjali Yoga Sutras, it mentions that one should fill the belly only half with food, one quarter with water, and one quarter with air. And then he is considered to be a yogi. So such a person, he will only belch once after the meal. Then he's a yogi. If he belches twice, then he's a bhogi. And if he belches three times, he's a rogi. Prabhupada writes that the Krishna conscious person observes fasting as it is recommended in the scriptures at the end of the commentary. He does not fast or eat more than is required, and he is thus competent to perform yoga practice. One who eats more than required will dream very much while sleeping, and he must consequently sleep more than is required. One should not sleep more than 6 hours daily. One who sleeps more than 6 hours out of 24 is certainly influenced by tamaguna. A person in the mode of ignorance is lazy and prone to sleep a great deal. Such a person cannot perform yoga. Yuktahara viharasya yukta cheshtasya karmasu yukta svapnava bodasya yogo bhavati dhutaha. He who is regulated in his habits of eating, sleeping, recreation and work can mitigate all material pains by practicing the yoga system. So you can see in the commentary Prabhupada writes, as far as eating is concerned, it can be regulated only when one is practicing. Then he goes further, as far as sleeping is concerned, the Krishna conscious person is always alert in the discharge of his duties, and any unnecessary time spent sleeping is considered a great loss. And then later, as far as work is concerned, a Krishna conscious person does not do anything which is not connected to Krishna's interest, and thus his work is regulated and untainted by sense. Since there is no question of sense gratification, there is no material leisure for a person in Krishna consciousness. No material leisure. So even when he goes on vacation, he still is hearing and chanting and studying and serving and doing puja. And, right? It's not that he just crashes out and sleeps all day. So the yogi should control his speaking also. But Baladevaji Bhushan eating, sleeping, recreation and work. These should be all regulated.
Speaking,
yeah, Baladeva Dibhushan, the yogi should restrain his speaking. So some recreation, what can that be?
Walking.
Swimming. Some swimming. Some wrestling. For Vaishnavas.
Yatra.
Yes, that's also recreation. Actually, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he doesn't mention in his commentary that walking is recreation, but it's in the Surrender Unto Me, but it's not in the commentary. I don't know where he got that from. But we can accept that that's probably true, but it's not coming from Vishwanath's commentary in text 17, at least. Maybe from another place. Text 18.
Yada vinayatam chittam atmanyevatmatishtate nyasprahasarvaha mehyo
yukta ityuchate tada.
When the yogi, by practice of yoga, disciplines his mental activities and becomes situated in transcendence, devoid of all mental activities, he is said to be well established in yoga. So one might ask the question, when is one's yoga complete? So in reply, Krishna speaks this verse. It becomes complete when the yogi disciplines his mental activities and becomes situated in transcendence, devoid of material desires. Prabhupada quotes Savaramana Krishna Padaravindayo. That his mental activities are all fixed in Krishna's lotus feet. Maharaj Ambarish, the great yogi, greater than Durvasa, the king of Mathura, Ambarish. Must have been king a long time ago, huh? Long time ago. Prabhupada comments at the end of his commentary, the senses and mind require engagements. Simple obligation is not practical. Therefore, for people in general, especially those who are not in the renounced order of life, transcendental engagement of the senses and the mind as described above is the perfect process for transcendental achievement, which is called yukta in the Bhagavad Gita. It's referring to Maharaj's, Ambarish's activities. Engaging all the senses in the service of Rishikesh. That's bhakti. Text 19.
Yata dipo na bhatasto nengate sopamasnita yogino yata chittasya yunjato yogamatma.
As a lamp in the windless place does not waver, so the transcendentalist whose mind is controlled remains always steady in his meditation on the transcendent side. So if you look at a candle in the room when all of the windows and doors are closed, you see that it doesn't move. It doesn't move at all. It looks almost like a light bulb. And it's kind of interesting to watch. Or maybe if you've seen when there's a piece of incense burning and there's no wind in the room, the smoke goes right in a straight line up to the ceiling. And then when someone opens the door, then immediately you see the thing will move them. So the devotee or the yogi's mind should be focused like that. Should be very, very fixed. So Krishna gives a nice example for us to understand what is the nature of the mind of the yogi. So now we've got a lot of verses. The commentators generally they break this into 5 verses, but here we have 4. And we have maybe 3.5, is that right? 3.5 verses. And the other commentators make 5 verses, means including 24 in one group. And their comments are on including 24. So here we have a lot of information. Prabhupada's commentary is also long.
Yatru paramate chittam niruddham yoga sevaya yatra chaivatmanam pashyam atman nitushyati suham matyatikam yatta buddhi gayam makindriyam vetti yatra nasharayam sitaschannati tatvataha yam nabva chaparam labham manyate nadhikam tataha yasmin sito labhukena gurnalati vachayate tam vijana dukta samyoga teyogam yoga sangitam.
In the stage of perfection called trance or samadhi, one's mind is completely restrained from material mental activities by practice of yoga. This perfection is characterized by one's ability to see the self by the pure mind and to relish and rejoice in the self. In that joyous state, one is situated in boundless transcendental happiness, realized through transcendental senses. Established thus, one never departs from the truth, and upon gaining this, he thinks there is no greater gain. Being situated in such a position, one is never shaken, even in the midst of greatest difficulty. This indeed is actual freedom from all miseries arising from material contact. So now Krishna explains the samadhi state and how the yogi feels. So he's tushiti, he's satisfied. And sukham, antyantikam, yatari, attains a kind of intense happiness. How? Buddhigraha tindriyam. So, transcendental senses. Atindriyam means super senses, transcendental senses. The body has senses, but the soul also has senses. So when one attains high levels of spiritual realization, then those spiritual senses, atindriya, become manifest in proportion to his controlling the material senses. So the material senses are actually purified and regain their original nature. Jiva Goswami also refers to this in his Sundarbhas. It's called Pratyuksha, or Vaidusha Pratyaksha. Vaidusha Pratyaksha. It means, Pratyaksha means the senses, but Vaidusha means divine spiritual cognition. When the person is actually able to see spirit, and at that stage, the person's speech and writing is equivalent to Shastra. It's above the four defects of the Nitya Bhada Jiva. That's why when the great acharyas write commentaries and they tell some leelas, we understand that these are not just made up in his mind, but he's seen them. So he has divine cognition and mystic vision. He can see the leelas of Radha and Krishna and Vrajadam. But here, of course, the yogi doesn't see that, but he has transcendental senses in which he perceives the super soul. So he feels so much pleasure that having achieved this, he thinks manyate nadikam, there's nothing superior. And being situated in this, nadvupena, he doesn't suffer any miseries even when something happens to him which would ordinarily cause suffering. He doesn't feel suffering. Even guranapi vachalite, when there's some great disturbance. So Prabhupada quotes the Pantanjali Yoga Sutras 334, Purushartha Shunyanam Guranam Pratiprasava Kailalyan Sarupapadishtava Chitti Shakti Hiti. This is quoted by Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his commentary. So Prabhupada follows suit. In other words, he echoes Bhaktivinoda Thakur, making the point Chit Shakti is not a kind of Shunyavad thing, or that there's personal realization or sarup pratishtha in chit shakti. Although the purusharthas are shunyanam, they're devoid of the dharma arts and kama moksha, but one becomes one, kaivalya, not meaning that he merges like the monist thing, but sarup, sarupena vivasiti, just like in the Bhagavatam. Our definition of mukti, mukti akidvanyata rupam, sarupena vivasiti. So that's Prabhupada's confirming this, quoting that also from the second canto. That's an interesting point. Then down at the bottom, when he gets through with that, that's three paragraphs. And then he talks about sampragyata and asampragyata samadhi. This is also by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And I think it's mentioned by Vishwanath Chakravarti also, if I remember correctly. So it's sometimes it's not so clear, but okay. Sampragata Samadhi means when one is conscious of the difference between knowledge, the object of knowledge, and the knower, jnana, gyayam, and gyata. One is conscious of the difference between knowledge, the object of knowledge, and the knower of knowledge. That means between, you know, the yogi, he's aware that I'm experiencing this knowledge and the super soul is the object of the knowledge. But in asampragyata samadhi, he perceives no differences. So these 3.5 verses are on asampragyata samadhi, the higher stage. Okay, these 3.5 verses quoted here. I think that's why Prabhupada cuts it like this, because he cuts the verse in half, right? Verse 24, I guess. 23 he cuts in half, because the acharyas have said this. 3.5 verses on the asampragyata samadhi. When the person doesn't perceive the differences between jnana, gyaya, and jnana. Let's just finish this, okay? There are different divisions of sampragyata samadhi, many, but one of them is savichara, or sometimes savicharana. And Prabhupada refers to that in his commentary immediately after introducing these terms. He says, when one becomes situated in the transcendental position by various philosophical researches, he is said to have achieved sampragata samadhi. So this is savichara division of sampragata samadhi. Another one is called savitarka, which means logic and argument. Vitarka. I don't even know that. Huh? Savichar and Savitarka. That's simple. Means with. Vichar generally means considerations. And here it means philosophical considerations. Savichar. With philosophical considerations. Savitarka means with arguments. So in the sampragyata, the lower stage, there's many different divisions, but not in the higher stage of asampragyata samadhi. They don't have all these things. Because how can you philosophize if you don't see a difference between you and the knowledge and the object of knowledge? It's not possible. It means you're really on a high level of samadhi. Yeah?
What means soul or
knowledge,
object of knowledge and knower?
Here you are saying sampragyata samadhi, when one perceives the difference between knowledge, object of knowledge, and knower.
And knower
means soul or super soul? It doesn't say. Because I think the object is the super soul, the knower is the soul, and the knowledge is in between. Yeah. That's my understanding. But they didn't clarify. No, none of the acharyas have explained this in much detail. I think Bhaktivinoda Thakur does talk about it a little bit. But that was as far as I got. That's all I could see. There's nothing more. As you can see, Prabhupada doesn't go into a whole thing about it. But I'm just giving you some basic knowledge to supplement what Prabhupada has given you here in the commentary. No, not necessarily.
Not when
So they say, anyway, they don't say that there's some monist yogis and some others. But anyway, the oneness can be felt in different ways also. Isn't it? It doesn't mean that he's the impersonal yogi trying to merge him. But there is oneness between the soul and the super soul anyway. And there's some difference. There's a chindivada bit. So the yogis are realizing the oneness. That's part of our philosophy. That's abhed. You're also abhed with Krishna. Prabhupada writes, the best practice of yoga in this age is Krishna consciousness, which is not baffling. And Krishna consciousness person is so happy in his occupation that he does not aspire after any other happiness. There are many impediments, especially in this age of hypocrisy, to practicing Hatha Yoga, Jnana Yoga, and Jnana Yoga. But there is no such problem in executing Karma Yoga or Bhakti Yoga. That's why Karma Yoga is said to be similar to Bhakti Yoga. As long as the material body exists, one has to meet the demands of the body, namely eating, sleeping, defending, and mating. But a person in pure Bhakti Yoga does not arouse the senses while meeting the demands of the body. Rather, he accepts the bare necessities of life, making the best use of a bad bargain, and enjoys transcendental happiness in Krishna consciousness. He is callous toward incidental occurrences, such as accidents, disease, scarcity, and even death, even the death of a most dear relative. But he is always alert to execute his duties in Krishna consciousness or Bhakti Yoga. Accidents never deviate him from his duty. As stated in the Gita, Agama Payam Nityas Tungsta Dikshas Vabhara. He endures all such incidental occurrences because he knows that they come and go and do not affect his duties. In this way, he achieves the highest perfection of yoga. So Prabhupada's commenting on this, Guru Napi Vachalyate. Yasmin Stito Nadukena, Guru Napi Vachalyate. He's not disturbed. Prabhupada exhibited this many times, like I think in San Francisco once there was an earthquake. The house that they were staying in started shaking, and the chandelier started swaying back and forth. Some pictures fell off of the room, some glass broke, and you know, the whole place was moving. And the devotees who were there, they were like shocked. They were, what are we going to do? This is happening. And Prabhupada was just sitting there, just kind of watching the whole thing, like he was watching a movie, totally detached. And of course, you know that, you know, when the sirens were ringing in Calcutta, you know, that they were bombing the city, that Prabhupada was just eating some samosas. And he said, Abhay, come to the air raid shelters. He said, okay, I'm honoring the samosas. Yes, wait. Another time, I think it was in Bombay. They went to a program, someone's rich man's house. Prabhupada gave a lecture. The family were there. They were sitting on a beautiful marble floor. And Prabhupada had an asan, and in front of him there was some carpet. They gave the lecture, and at the end, Harshari was there. He tells the story. And Prabhupada got up from the asan, and he put his foot down on the carpet, and it just slipped, you know, because the floor of his marble was slippery. So when he stepped to get down, you know, he put all his weight on his foot, and then the rug went like that, you know, and so all of his weight came down, his hip came down on the corner of the asan, which was a wooden asan, and it was this pointed, you know, corner, and hit this like that. And Harishari, it just happened so quick, he couldn't even try to catch Prabhupada. So, I mean, anyone else would have screamed, or at least said, you know, but Prabhupada didn't make any sound. And he just got up, he looked a little concerned, you know, he rubbed it, and then he just walked and he just went to the bathroom. And Harishari was just shocked, he just couldn't believe that somebody could be so transcendental to the body. Didn't experience that kind of suffering. But that happens in Bhakti Yoga too, at high levels. Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur, he comments, I believe this must be a comment on the next verse, though. Yes, so we'll wait until we read this next verse. Because, as I said, the commentators have added the other 1.5 verses in one group. So, in 24 and 25, Krishna prescribes the methods to attain Yoga Rudha stage. The initial acts, beginning from the word sankalpa, initial activities to attain Yoga Rudha, beginning with sankalpa, prabhavam, kamam, and then in 25, the ultimate activities by which he can attain Yoga Rudha. Okay? Sanischayena yuktavyo yoga nirmena chetasa sankalpa prabhavam kamam chakpa sarvana sheshataha manasarivindriya gramam viniyamya samantataha. One should engage oneself in the practice of yoga with determination and faith and not be deviated from the path. One should abandon, without exception, all material desires born of mental speculation and thus control all the senses on all sides by the mind. So, nischaya means determination. So, sanischayena, with that firm determination, yoktavyo must be practiced. Yoga nirvina chetasa. Without any deviations, you practice this yoga. So, for us, it means that we make some advancement, and then that encourages us and gives us determination to go further in our bhakti. So that gives us faith over time. When we try and we make some advancement, we can feel that tangible advancement that gives us faith and determination to continue. But without faith, one cannot possess nischaya or determination. So the determination comes from faith. And that includes enthusiasm, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes in Bhakti Loka. And faith without enthusiasm has no meaning. Right? So, but the yoga is gradual. So therefore we should think that even if not in this lifetime, I must continue. Even if I don't attain the goal in this lifetime, I must continue. Even if it takes 2 or 3 lifetimes. This is the kind of determination which is required to be successful on the path of yoga, whether it's Ashtanga or Bhakti or anything. One has to have this component, nischaya. And Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur, he quotes as speaking as Krishna. He says that the yogi should not lament. No, I'm sorry, this is not as Krishna, but as the yogi. The yogi should not lament that, oh, I have not attained perfection after so much time. What is the purpose of undergoing all this pain? Rather, he should think, whether perfection comes in this life or the next, I will continue to try. Why should I become impatient? So only when one has this kind of determination, then the person can only then advance properly on the path. So here Krishna mentions this point. And he describes, so the initial activities that one gives up material desires and mental speculation and he controls the senses by the mind. manasaiva indriya gramam samantataha, all around. So for determination, Vishwanath Chakravarti quotes, or he says, oh, it was the Parama Guru of Adi Shankaracharya. His name was Gaudacharya. Yeah, I think that's it. And he said something like that, the person must be so determined. He said something like, I am willing to empty out the ocean by taking a piece of kusha grass and just drop by drop, emptying out the ocean. This kind of determination must have. So then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur tells the story of the sparrow to illustrate this point. And he says that the sparrow lost her eggs to the ocean and then requests the ocean to return them. The ocean said no. So then she decided that she will empty the ocean by taking one beak full of water and bringing it over to the land like this. And all of the other birds tried to talk her out of it. This is ridiculous. What are you doing? You'll never be successful. But she was determined. And Narada just happened to come by, and he also tried to discourage her. No, give up this idea. This, you won't be successful. This. And then at that point, in front of Narada, she made a vow that I vow I won't stop until the end of my life, until my last breath, I'm going to empty out this ocean. So then Narada approached Garuda and told that, you know, baby sister is doing like this. So Garuda, when he heard that one of his own caste members was like this, he came to help her. So he came to the shore of the ocean and he started to flap his wings. And this frightened the ocean because he thought that, Garuda's going to dry me up with his wings. So then the ocean came and brought the eggs back to the sparrow. So in all yogas, this determination is necessary. And Prabhupada says, so if one tries, although it seems impossible, then God helps those who help themselves. So if we have determination and try, then the Lord will assist us in our attempt. Text 25. Oh, we don't have much time. We should stop now. Okay, we'll just do 25 and stop. Shaneer shaneer uparamed bhujya dritti grihitaya atma samsammana kripa nakinchira pachintaya. Gradually, step by step, one should become situated in trance by means of intelligence, sustained by full conviction. And thus the mind should be fixed on the self alone and should think of nothing else. So, shaneer shaneer. And step by step, gradually this happens. So he should act slowly and steadily, not expecting success in one day or one week or one month or even one year. By fixed intelligence and determination, buddhya dhriti grihitaya. So this comes from Shastra, fixed determination. Intelligence. Okay, so we'll stop now and finish chapter 6 tomorrow. Hare Krishna. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.